Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
From the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. We are live coming from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God get the glory, where God get the honor, and where God get the praise. Breakthrough Broadcast is a radio broadcast that is lifting up the great and mighty name of Jesus. Yes. He is worthy to be praised, he is worthy to be glorified, and he is worthy to be exalted. He said, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw, not some men, but he said that he'll draw all men unto him. So why don't you call a friend, a neighbor, and tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. And we'll hear that God will be exalted today. We would like for you to know today that the broadcast, the topic of our broadcast discussion will be prayer of praise. Our scripture text will come from Psalm 18th chapter, verse through the 50th verse. Our key verse today will be, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. That is coming from the KJV, the King James Version, and the NIV Version says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. We're going to be speaking from today. We have three subtopics that we're going to be talking about and discussing this afternoon. And the first one will be praise for deliverance. The second one is praise for direction. And the third will be praise for dominion. We would like at this time to welcome our broadcast breakthrough panel. They are as following: Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Hooper, and Evangelist Jardine Spencer. I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, your host of Breakthrough Broadcast. At this time, we want you to just know that God, he is God, and that he is God all by himself. Even in the midst of a crooked and unjust generation, we got to know that God is God, and we got to know that he is God all by himself. And we need to be able, even in the midst of a storm, to give God the praise and the glory and the honor. We, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of things that we don't see clearly, when things seem so opaque, when things seem like it's not going the way that it should go, or that you think that it should go, yet you have to praise God. We have to praise him before the battle is over. And there was a many situations in the lives of God's people, and especially David, when he had to come to himself. We're going to be speaking from that first topic, which will be, again, praise for direction. And that is taken from Psalm 18 of chapter. That would be the second subtopic, and we're first going to be talking about the praise for deliverance. And we need to know that God, he will deliver us, and he will keep us. And when we began to read God's word, and we're going to read Psalm 18, chapter, first through that 10th verse, and it reads like this. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrow of hell compassed about me. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came upon before him, even unto his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and the fire out of his mouth devoured the coal were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and the darkness were under his feet. And he rode upon a cherubim and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wind, upon the wings of the wind. And when we began to look at David, he wasn't any different than you and I is. He was a man that God had made, a man that God trusted, a man that God knew that he would go forth for him, a man that was going to be tried, a man that was going to be tested. But even in the midst of his trials, even in the midst of his tribulation, even in the midst of the things that he had to go through, yet God knew that he could trust David. And there were many uncertainties in his life. There were many things that he had gone through. Many times he was tried. Many times he went through snares, the snares of the enemy, the snares of Saul, the things that Saul, the king, had did to him because of his envy, being envy, because he was jealous of him. He was jealous of what God was doing inside of him. Many times he had to run from him, from the anointed one, because of the fact that he would not touch God's anointing. But he had the relationship with God to know God even in a crooked situation, even in a way, in a situation that sometimes I don't know whether to turn to the left or to the right. Yet I know that God, my eyes, will be forever upon you. And this is what we need to know as a believer, as people of God, that God, he is our deliverer. The Bible let us know that he is our keeper. He is one that we can count on, the one that we can trust in, that we can have that confidence in him. So even through all the things that this man of God had gone through, yet he knew that he could praise God, and that he knew that he should praise God. Because even as we all know that when the praises goes up, the blessing truly will come down. David wanted to, he had that type of relationship with God, that he knew God, and that he could trust God, and that he could exhort him, and that he should exhort him. And there were many times in his life, I'm not saying that the flesh did not rise up. I'm not saying that David always did what he should have done, because he did not. But he had a relationship with God, because God said to let us know that David was a man after his own heart. But yet he went through situations in his life just as the men and women today, brothers and sisters, will go through today. He said, even as he has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer, and because we will go through some things in our lives. But the thing about it is, audience, the broadcast audience, the thing about it is that we have to have a relationship with him. We have to know him as our personal Savior. We have to know that he is God. We have to know that God will never leave us or forsake us. So the many things that he did go through and the pits that he was in and the situation and difficult times that he was in, even when at times in the flesh he thought God had forgotten even about him, but yet he knew his relationship and his confidence in God, that he knew that God is God, and that God is God, and he is God all by himself. So David found that God was his rock. We need a rock. We need to know that God is God. We need to know that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. But he will be there with us consistently. All we need to do is to trust in him and to lean not to our understanding. He will be that rock that we need. We don't need the sinking sand. We don't need the quicksand. We don't need things that's not going to support us. We need God, who will be that everlasting foundation for his people. We need him in order to sustain us and to keep us even in difficult times in our life. And David was an example of the things that he had gone through. Although the Lord let us know that David was a man after his own heart, that did not cancel him. That did not keep him from going through situations in his life. So it is with the men and women of God. Yes, you may be a preacher. You may be a teacher. You may be an apostle. You may be evangelist. But yet, there are some things that we are going to go through as being people of God, and we have to examine our relationship, and we have to build on our relationship with him to let us know within, and let God know that we trust him, and we have that confidence in him. So he is the rock. He is our fortress. God, whatever be there, something that the enemy cannot penetrate, the something that the enemy cannot get around, the enemy cannot break through it. He will be our fortress. He will surround us. He will keep us. He will deliver us. He is that deliverer. So when the enemy comes in as a flood, we have to know that God is God and that he will always prevail, that even in our lives that we're more than conquerors. And that is where the enemy comes in so many people's lives, to let them make them believe that they are less than, that they don't have what it takes, that they are not going to make it, that they are just somebody with a name, somebody with position or no position, somebody just existing. But that is not the God way of thinking. That is not what God wants us, the way he does not want us to think that way. He wants us to know who we are, and we are more than conquerors. We are the people of the Most High God. We are his children. We are the children that God have called to stand in a wicked generation to proclaim and to know that he is God, and that he is God all by himself. And when I began to read in this other thing in Psalm 18, and it talks about it really I want to talk about like 10 personal manifestation of God in this chapter, because God did manifest himself. You know, no matter to David, he showed himself in so many ways. He showed himself. I mean, if you go back, Breakthrough Order, if you go begin to read the entire 18th chapter of Psalms, you'll see about 25 things that God really manifests himself. But it showed that his wrath in that seventh verse, that God was wrath. He showed that smoke came out of his nostrils. It showed that the fire came out of his mouth. It showed even the coals of fire were kindled by him, which was in that eighth verse. And then it showed that he came down. God, his spirit, his power, as we said before, he won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He showed his characteristic so many times. And even sometimes we may not feel it, we may not see it, but yet God's presence is all around us. It says he came down, he stood on darkness in that ninth verse, he rode upon a cherub, and he did fly, he rode upon the wind, he made the darkness his secret place, he made dark waters and thick clouds his pavilion, and so many other things as you began to read in that entire chapter. So we sometimes when we think that when we have read the word and we know certain things about God, but we have to continue to, the Bible says, to study to show that stuff approved to God, a weapon of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So in our reading and our studying, it builds us up. It gives us faith to stand on the word of God, because the word of God says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we need God. We need faith to stand on God's word. And even in the midst of things that we're going through, we need to praise God. Even if you may not see it in the natural. David, he found himself praising God. He found himself not just looking at the gloomy and the dark things that he may have encountered or going through, but he had to praise God. So that is what we want to tell you today, that even the things that you go through, that you're going to have to praise God, that you have to know that God is God, and that you have to know for yourself, not just thinking about it, but just believing that he will not leave you, and that God, he will not forsake you. So at this time, we go into the second portion of praise for deliverance, and we're going to go to Pastor Eric Hooper, and we would like to welcome him to Breakthrough Broadcast, Pastor Eric Hooper.
God bless you all. May God continue to bless you and enrich you in faith, and you abound more and more in the things of God. And also, as Dr. McCoy was illustrating about Psalms 18 and 2, says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in him in whom I will trust." And that one thing we got to learn, we have to learn how to keep to trust God. And the only way we can know that we trust God is when God takes us and places us into certain situations. Amen. I'm going to read verses 11 through 19, and it reads, "He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hail and stones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. The hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of thy breath, of the breath of thy nostrils, He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Amen. And also, we all know that God says that we are the apple of his eye. God's children are the apple of his eye. So God takes delight in his children. And the thing about this is praising in the midst of the praise of the living simply is praise is simply this right here. Praise is to give thanks. It's the Hebrew word is yada. And that it means to give thanks or to revere, to extend with extended hands, to revere with extended hands. Sometimes we lift our hands as an adoration or praise to God because we know who God is, and we're just showing God our appreciation, and we just want God to know that we love him and that we're just acknowledging him before man. We acknowledge him even in situations that we face, because as we look around certain times, we can see things that we face or things that we go through. It can cause us to be disheartened. It can cause us to really have faith in what we see instead of having faith in God. That is not the faith that God wants us to have, because that's actually fear. That's actually faith in reverse. The enemy actually works off of our fears, and God actually moves in our faith. Amen? So we want to make sure that when we're faced with adversity, we're faced with situations that we're camped about with so many enemies or things that just begin to close on, we just want to begin to lift up our hands and give God praise, give him thanks for the things that he's already done and for the victories that he has already won and brought us through. Amen. And when we can go back and we begin to recall the things that God has already brought us through, we can begin to remember it will build our trust, or we renew our trust, or revive our trust that we already have in God. And so when we revive in our trust like that, what happens is we'll be confident in the present situation that we're facing, because, you know, God is still there. He said, Lord, I will be with you even to the end. So therefore, God is forever faithful. Even when we don't sense him yet, he is still there. But sometimes the Father just likes to sit there, like I said, he takes the light in us and his people with the apple of his eye. So sometimes the Father will sit back and he will watch to see what you will do, because we're made in his image and his likeness. So what happens sometimes is God has to allow us as his people, as his children, as his sons and his daughters, to go through a development stage. That's why we face adversity. That's why we have an adversary. We have an adversary because God will always show the enemy that he is greater than he is, and that his children will always resort back to him instead of giving in if we believe and if we have that faith. Amen? So the praise of deliverance is simply, the praise part is yada, to give thanks, to revere with extended hands. And deliverance is a Hebrew word meaning paleta. That means to escape, to be brought out. And this your praise, actually, sometimes when you're facing things, your praise of deliverance simply means it's right here, to praise God so that he can bring you out. Amen? When you begin to praise God, God is the one who will bring you out. And praise also confuses the enemy, whether it be a spiritual attack or something that's just manifesting in the natural. If it's an attack on your mind, you should give God praise. If it's an attack on your home or your marriage or your finances, you should give God praise. You should not resort back to the flesh or to the things of old, because those things only breed and they muster up corruption. You know, we're to sow into the spirit that we can reap eternal life in peace. But if we sow into our fleshly part of us when we're going through something, what's going to happen is we're going to begin to sow and cause corruption to arise. Or, you know, we're going to be built up in the old man. That's not God's will. It's God's will for us as his people, as his children, to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, but never to be stunted in our spiritual growth and never to be in the same place, because God has places that he has for us to walk through. Because remember, he is the shepherd. We are the sheep. We are the sons and daughters. So we're to be following the shepherd. It's the shepherd's job to lead us, but yet it's the children's job to be followers of him. Jesus said, if any man should come unto me, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Amen? And so when we do that, when we begin to follow God, in spite of where he is taking us, but yet we know that he is the one who's leading us, we should have that confidence that yet if he brought us here, he's going to, something that we're going to get out of this, but yet he's going to bring us through it. Amen? It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how intense the pressures may get. Sometimes God will allow us to go through pressure situations where it seems like there's a tight squeeze, and that's simply like us going through a wine press. When God is taking us through a tighter squeeze, he wants us to have a more sincere, more focused approach to him and the things of God. Because there are things that God wants out of us, and also there are things that God wants to impart into us. But it only comes by following him. And so in the midst of everything, we have to remember to praise God. We have to remember to always give thanks. He said, in everything, you should give thanks. He said, he inhabit the praises of his people. So when we're in camp, so when we're facing adversity, we're facing difficulties, we should remember to praise God, but not just with a formality of praise. We should be praising God with a sincerity of our hearts, because when we give God true and sincere praise, he truly draws his presence, because God does not look at the outward appearance of man, as the scripture declares. If a man looks upon the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. So it's the thing about, we should do things sincerely from the heart and reflect back on the times when we thought all was lost, or reflect back on the time when we thought that all hope was lost, or there was no way out. But the Lord had always made a way of escape. So what your praise will do, your praise is a weapon that God has given you, actually. And if you will just implement that praise into your life, what happens is there's a way of escape. Like when the enemy comes like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard. And we know that standard is Jesus. So what happens is, even if you take, even when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and the storm came, and the disciples became fearful because of the things they saw in the waters beginning to overtake the ship, but yet Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, yet asleep. Why? Because he was the Lord of everything. And so we have the Lord of everything with us. We have really nothing to fear. So what happens is, when fear arises, we have to cast down that, because that is a high thought or an imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What we have to do is bring those thoughts into the captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ. So what we have to do is a mind thing sometimes, and we have to face certain things to be conditioned. So just remember, God has given you ammunition. He's given you weaponry in the spirit. He wants you to war the spirit, but yeah, he also wants you, as the enemy comes and tries to overtake, he wants you to begin to praise him, because your praise is a weapon that God has given you. So I just want to encourage everybody today that as you go through whatever you have to go through, if you face whatever you have to face, remember to give God praise, because your praise really is your way of escape and things of those natures. God will not take you to a place and leave you to be destroyed, allow the enemy to overtake you. If God is with you, if God before you, who can be against you? The enemy only comes in. God only uses the enemy as a training tool. I call it sometimes, the enemy is like a hammer and a chisel to me at times. Well, God will use the enemy to pull things off me, or to chip away things off of my life. He'll use situations and allow things to come upon me only to make me more like him. So I just want to encourage you today, just to be encouraged, and remember to praise God in every situation, whether it be good or whether it be bad, and just know that the Lord thy God, he is there, right there with you, but he's watching to see what you're going to do. Amen? Amen. Back to you, Dr. Moore.
Thank you, Pastor Eric. That was so enlightening, and I thank God, because we need to know God's expectation of us. And I was listening and following as to what Pastor Hooper was saying, and he was saying that our praises is like a weapon. It's just a bullet for us to go back and to think about. It's something that we should put a check on when we, even through the difficult times that we go through, we have to remember to praise God. And sometimes the enemy try to make you in your mind think, oh, I don't feel like praising God. This is just too hard. It's just too difficult to go through. But when you have that relationship with God, and you know who you are, and when you're growing and you're maturing in Christ, that yet you have to praise God. That is where God will move on your behalf, when you begin to praise God. That is your weapon against the enemy, when you begin to praise God. And as Pastor Eric said, he said that the God inhabit the praises of his people, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to praise him, not when we feel like it, not when we have the money in our pocket, not when we're driving that Cadillac, that Lexus, or whatever it may be, or that Bentley, or whether or not the bills are being paid. That's the great time to praise us. But, you know, there are times in our lives that we have to know that at all times, not sometimes, but at all times, when you don't even feel like opening your mouth, that's a wonderful and a great time in order to give God the praise and the glory and the honor. And something that Pastor Eric Hoover was saying, he was saying that that we don't just to praise him, just give him a half praise, but we should do it wholeheartedly. We should do it because we know this is what God wants. We do it because this is what God wants us to do, and I want to do this for God. If God going to inhabit my praise, if God want me to praise him, I'm going to love him enough. Even though I'm going through some situations in my life, I'm going to praise him anyway. I'm going to praise him with what? All my heart, with all my soul, with my all my mind, and with my spirit. And even, I believe, he began to talk about the even lifting our hands unto God. And that's a great start, just to lift our hands. Even when things of the enemy try to keep things out of your mouth, you begin to raise your hand and begin to give God the praise and give him the glory and let him know how awesome he is. Because you know what? He is an awesome God. Do you know what? Your deliverance can come out. Even as David, God brought him out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, God will bring you out each and every time if we just can remember just to praise the Lord. At this time, we're getting ready to hear our next subtopic will be praise for direction. And that topic is going to be coming from Psalm 18, 28 through the 36th verse. We would like at this time to welcome Miss Helen Watson to Breakthrough, and I want the radio audience to welcome Miss Helen Watson by just praising the Lord. Wherever you may be, just praise the Lord. Just praise God for what you've already heard, and praise God for what you're about to hear. Miss Helen Watson, praise for direction.
Praise God, Dr. McCoy. I'd like to welcome our listening audience to Breakthrough, and remind you to keep quiet in this season and have a Merry Christmas, and just don't forget him. We tend to forget him. We tend to do other things at this time of year, but please keep quiet in Christmas. And I'm going to be expounding on praise for direction, and that's going to be coming from Psalms 18, 28, and 36. And it reads this: For thou wilt my light, my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? If it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon a high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken by my arrows. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded up me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. And here we're talking about praise for direction. We know that in everything, we have to acknowledge Christ. We have to acknowledge the Lord. So here David's talking about he has a law. He had things that God directed him, and he had so many victories here and there, but he never stopped asking God and praising God for direction. David had adversaries. He had Saul. He had his son Absalom. He had so many adversaries that were after him at one point or another in his life. But when we give God praise for direction, we have to praise him in everything, even for direction, even when we're changing jobs, when we're doing things that, you know, we get things presented to us every day in our lives. So you might have got another promotion. Somebody might ask you to come over here for more money, over here for to do this or to do that. But we have to ask God for direction in all things. And we know here that David asked God for direction in all things. He did not just go off on his own on a wild goose chase, but he asked God for direction. He asked God to help him in this time of need. He was praising him in everything. And as we know, David, like Dr. McCoy said earlier, I call it a very colorful background, a very colorful life. He was not a perfect man. None of us are perfect. So we have to praise God for direction in everything that we do. Sometimes, you know, we get in a hurry and we make decisions on our own, and that is not the thing for us to do. God will not have us to go ahead and go and do things on our own, you know, by ourselves. Sometimes we have to just stop and get back to his word and come back to him and say, you know what, I made a mistake here, I made a mistake there, but, you know, I want God to guide me. I want him to be a light, a lamp unto my feet. That means to brighten my path. It's in all things, you know, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He has a perfect plan for us, and we have to acknowledge him in all our ways. David was in a bind. He had adversaries. He had the enemy on his trail. And sometimes when we have the enemy on our trail, we panic. But in this situation, David prayed. He stayed on his knees. He stayed before the Lord. He stayed before God's throne, and he wanted direction. And God directed his path. He brought him out of everything, even when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and when he put her husband out to be killed in war, to hide his sin. God even brought him out there. Because he had a forgiving heart. He asked for direction in all things. David was a man after God's own heart, and God knew that. He knew that he could trust him. He knew when he got into trouble that God was going to be right there. And listen, audience, you need to know whatever it is, I don't care whatever it is, God, just seek his face. Stay on your knees. Stay before him. Give him praise for everything. Give him praise for deliverance. Praise him while you're going through. David was going through in the worst way. Saul was after him to kill him. And it wasn't just Saul. Saul had an army that was behind him waiting just for their chance just to kill, to take his life. Saul sought his life. But God brought him out of that because he was praising God for direction in everything that he did. He praised God in it. For everything that he did, he praised God. And we cannot just go off on a whim. We cannot do that. God would not have us do that. That's why we have his word. Proverbs 3:6 said, "In every way acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." It is the perfect path that God has for you. Sometimes we get off into things and we think this is the thing for us to do without consulting God, without even asking him, you know, what it is that you would have us to do. Sometimes in my own life, sometimes if I don't hear from him, I say, well, God, when I get quiet or even when I'm sleeping, give me a dream. Give me a vision. You know, send somebody to me if I'm not doing what you would have me to do. And God sure enough answered prayers. I know he answers prayers. I depend on him for everything. And in all things, I do acknowledge him, and I praise him for direction. Even though you can't see it sometimes, God always has a perfect plan. But if you consult him, he will give you that perfect plan. He will give you the plan for your life. But if we don't consult him, you know, we stumble, we fall. But if you praise him for direction, if you get in a quiet place, if you ask God to uncover some things for you, he will certainly do it. David did it in all that he did. And we know that he had a lot of adversaries. He had a lot of ups and downs in his life. And he was by no means perfect. Like I said, none of us are perfect. So sometimes while we're leading, our elders, our prophets, our pastors, whoever, our apostles, whoever, men and women of God, sometimes you have to still continue to lead. And I call it leading while bleeding spiritually, the hurt and the pain sometimes that we feel. We still have to get up and we still have to be that man and woman of God. We still have to go before his people and do what God would have us to do. So we have to pray for direction. We cannot sit down on God. We cannot just wait, you know, for things to happen. We cannot go by our own thing. We have to give God praise for everything, and he will direct your path. He says in his word stands. And we have to consult him on every level. And we're looking at David here, and he did just that. He did just that. In every area of his life, he consulted God. Like I said, he was by no means a perfect man, by no means. He started off from humble beginnings, and he became a great man. He became king. But he consulted God for direction. God never left him alone, never left him alone. He was always there with him. And sometimes we think God has left us alone. We're just looking around for this person over there to give us this person over there, when God is right there saying, you know, I'm right here. I have a perfect plan for you. All you have to do is seek me, seek my face, seek my direction, and he will give us the he will give us everything that we need. He will give us the answers that we need. Sometimes it doesn't come like we want him to, and sometimes he doesn't come when we want him to. Sometimes he tarries. It is for us to go through some for some time. It's for the kingdom's sake. We have to help somebody. We have to walk other people to their victories. So we have to go through some time. It's not going to be a perfect life. It's never a perfect life. When you live for God, there is something that you have to do. To get an anointing, to get where he wants you to be, you have to be pushed. And sometimes this is how it goes. Absalom was after him, which is his son. And he consulted to God. And he even delivered him out of that. Many people was after his own life, wanted to kill David. And God just delivered him out of everything. If you stand still and if you consult God, if you look for direction from God, if you seek his face, he will deliver you from all your adversaries, from every enemy, from every attack of the devil, from sickness, from whatever it is that you're going through. We have to just lean and depend on him. And that's what we're talking about today, a praise for direction. And praise him in everything that you do. Because know this, when you pray and it is a sincere prayer and he hears your prayer, God is going to move on your behalf. He's going to move on your behalf. He may not come right then like lightning. Sometimes he does. Sometimes a situation requires that he moves quickly. Sometimes he does not answer. That does not mean that he has not heard. That does not mean that he's not going to do it. He is doing his perfect will. So we still have to pray for the work, and we still have to stay in his perfect will every day. I have to check myself sometimes. I do a check every day. Like, Lord, you know, whatever it is, I want you to pull it out at the root. So when you pull something out at the root, you get to the root of it and you pull it out, it's not going to grow anymore. So I don't want it there. Whatever it is, God, you take it out of my life. And I want you to direct my path, whatever I'm going to do. Sometimes some things that feel good to you are not good for you. So we cannot go there and do what we want to do. We have to seek his face. That's what he is there for. He is everything. He is God all by himself. So we have to seek his face. We have to ask for direction and praise him for that direction because he will certainly give it to you. He will give us what we pray for if it's a sincere prayer and if you wish for him to direct you, he will do certainly that. Amen. Back to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Watson, again. How awesome to God be the glory. When we think about God's direction for our lives and praise God for direction. I was listening again to Ms. Watson, Ms. Helen Watson, as she gave us a clear view of the direction of praise God for direction, which came from Psalm the 18th chapter, the 28th and the 36th verse. And some of those highlights that I was listening to her when she let us know that David prays and he asked God for direction. He didn't go his own way. He didn't do things the way that he thought that they should be done in some area because, as we said earlier, that David was not perfect. He did not always obey God, but yet he was a man after God's own heart. But yet when he acknowledged God, the Bible says, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he said that he will direct our path. So we need to have that confidence and faith and trust in God enough to acknowledge him in whatever situation that we're in and whatever we're about to do. Don't just do it because it seems right, but we need to do it because we know that we have that blessed assurance from God. When the men of God, when they went out to fight the men of, if you heard what I said, the men of God, those that trusted God, they asked God, should I pursue? David was at one of the times, he asked God, should I pursue? When the enemy came up against his family, when the enemy had came up against the people of God and that burned down Ziglag. He had to acknowledge God and ask God. He didn't just run off. He didn't just take his men and go in pursuit, but he acknowledged God. And so that is what we need to do, acknowledge God. And she was saying that God would give, we need to praise God in not some things, but she said again that we need to praise God in everything. In everything that we do, we need to give God the praise and the glory for what he has done. Even when we done prayed and we go before the Lord and we ask and we petition him, because she was telling us about even the times that she had gone through some things. She didn't just go do things, but she said, God, you know, she acknowledged the Lord. Lord, show me in a dream. Show me in a vision. You know, even send someone to let me know, is this your perfect will, Lord God? Speak to me, you know, and that's what we need to have, that confidence in God, and not just to do things the way that we want to do them. But even as the men and women of God have sought God so many times, we need not to begin not to trust God and try to go about and do things in our own way. We need to seek the face of God. Even as she was saying, even when Saul was trying to kill David, you know, he didn't just go. He had that love for Saul. He had that love for the God Almighty, and many things that he did, he could have, but yet he knew the God that he served. And that she was saying that God has a perfect plan. I like that, because she said God has a perfect plan for our lives. And that's what we need to know, that the plan of God is not to hurt us, not to harm us, but God has a perfect plan for our lives. I would like at this time to give you a update on what's going here on here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville. Well, we just finished the Iron Sharp and Iron Conference that was held at Spoken Word Ministry on December the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Oh, what an awesome conference. Oh, the people came from, I think we had about 25 different cities that was represented, and about 11 different states. After the count was made that first night, there was other people that registered on the second day, but oh, how the Lord moved and how the Lord touched the heart of these men and women that traveled from California and from all these different places, from New York and all over the states and different cities that came in to such an awesome conference, and God moved. The word of God was preached, the unadulterated, uncompromised word of God. The speakers that was there, they was had a timely word, and it was a awesome conference that the Lord allowed us to be in. So we would like to encourage you on next year to be sure to set that time aside and come join us at Iron Shop and Iron, 1445 Steel Street, here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, with the Apostle Kimberly Daniels, and you will not be disappointed. God is continually to do great. God is continually to do mighty things. I would like to, at this time, to go to also to go to Pastor Eric Hooper, and I would like to ask him, Pastor Hooper, under the praise and deliverance, would you tell me also what ways have you discovered security and strength in God? Again, in what ways have you discovered your strength and your security in God? Pastor Hooper?
Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. One way I truly do try to reflect on how God has really been strengthening me and security is I oftentimes reflect back on my parents, and I used to always try to look and see how they were and how they operated as I grew older, as I became, you know, more observant to them. And on my father's side, there was something that I had asked about a few years back, and he was attacked by, I guess, you know, a woman with, I guess you would call it witchcraft. And it really did something to his mind. And I saw how through the years, because I was always wondering why, I would have these thoughts. These thoughts would come and go, and then as time went on, I began to understand more about the Lord and begin to grow in the grace of God. I began to ask questions, and some of my sisters, even Sister Helen Watson, would even explain some of the things that took place when I was too young to know about it, and how this individual who was once with my dad, you know, because my mother and dad were, you know, they were separated. They didn't get married, you know. But either way, be that as it may, Howard practiced witchcraft on him, and it literally took just to get him to go where she wanted him to go and not where, you know, not what he was supposed to do. So his mind was attacked, and that was something that flowed through a generation of men on my dad's side. And what I would realize, the Lord began to visit me early in the years with dreams about wrapping my mind because of the thoughts, the how I would think. And so I began to ask questions. And I saw how that truly tied in, how the end would come, and he would try to attack my mind early on in my earlier years. And my dad ended up, you know, he ended up with, I guess he kind of had a struggle with his mind for a number of years. And it trickled over into my brother. And my brother ended up taking his life. As a matter of fact, taking his life, I think it was back in the year 2004, because he was just totally consumed with facing some things, but he allowed the enemy to come in and just to take his mind and talk him into taking his life. When he had a beautiful family, he had sons and daughters who were just maybe 2 or 3 years old and a lovely wife and everything, and the enemy coerced him into taking his mind. And so when I began to face certain adversities, I saw how this same spirit would try to come upon me. And then when I really began to pray to God or get in God's presence, because I didn't know what to do, I didn't know what direction to take, I would begin to pray and really earnestly go after God, and God's peace would just come and just take over and just wrap my mind and just give me peace in my spirit, peace in my heart. He would just overtake me with peace and give me strength to be stable. And that's just one thing I can really just key on, seeing that how the blood of Jesus, how the Bible says we overcame by the blood and the words of our testimonies. And that is truly one testimony that I can attest to, that the Lord has truly been one that will keep my mind. He's been a keeper for me in my mental state because of the things that flow and operate through the lineage of your family members, whether it be on your mother's side or your dad's side. So that's one thing I truly give God praise for, is keeping me and bringing me through in my mind. Not that I'm a candidate for 11 East, you know, nothing like that, you know. But what I'm saying is that God is a keeper of my mind. He's able to help me to make sound judgments. And when I'm facing certain adversities, and when the enemy's trying to attack me, I'm able to get into his presence. He's able just to, you know, God can do anything. He just wraps my mind and gives me the peace that I need to withstand any blow that the enemy throws at me. Amen. So that's one thing I can reflect on. He is my security as far as my thought process, how I think. The thoughts that I have, I'm really keeping my mind stayed upon him and not really, you know, things of myself. As we progress in God, you know, there are things that we want to do as we're learning more about God. So that's one thing I truly give God praise for, because truly he has kept my mind. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Hooper. We thank God because God will keep our mind. And I thank God because the enemy will try to take the minds of the people, but yet God let us know we keep our mind stayed upon him, he'll keep our mind in perfect peace. And there are things that are out there, there are different spirits that is in operation that try to come against the people's mind and the heart of the people. There are witchcraft spirit, hoodoo, voodoo, black and white magic, things that the enemy come, but yet when we can travail in prayer, when we can praise God for the things that he has done, and we can give him our whole heart, our mind, and our soul, and our spirit, God will strengthen us, and we can, because in doing so, we can have that joy on the inside, because the Lord let us know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I believe that that God, even as God covered Pastor Eric Hooper, yet God knows that what he has in store for him and the things that he has in his life and the things that he is to accomplish, yet God and the love that he has for God, and that's the same love that he has for God, that same love that God wants his people to have for him as well. And we have to pray and cover our minds, and we have to cover our heart against the enemy. That's why it's so it's so prevalent that we stay in the Word of God. It's so prevalent that we read the Word of God, and not just reading it, but believing it. And not only just read it, but we have to hear it. You know, sometimes we can read, but yet not really not absorbing and not learning, not expecting for God to do certain things in our lives. But we have to have that faith and that confidence in God, and no matter what we go through, that God is with us. He is covering us, and he is giving us that security. We need security in Christ Jesus. We need God's strength, and we can't accept God's strength unless we know who he is in order to help us. We think that even when God giving us that strength, and God would give us that strength, but when we can't trust him and confide in him, even when he's trying to give us that strength, then we're fighting against God for whatever reason. But we need to know that all our help come from the Lord, who has made the heaven, who has made the earth. And I also would like to ask Miss Helen Watson a question as well, of food for thought. Tell us, how does God work in believers' lives to make them victorious? Again, how does God work in believers' lives to make them victorious? Ms. Watson?
Yes. I believe that God works in the lives of believers in all sorts of ways. I believe that he works through signs, miracles, and wonders. I believe he sends people, and he sends words straight from his throne through our pastors, through, you know, some of our leaders, even through everyday people that that you come in contact with. He just works in awesome ways. With miracles, he, like I said, when I was in the hospital and I had the doctor, my doctor telling me all kind of things that were going on in my body, and at the end of a five-day hospital stay, and he came in to sign my release papers, and he told me, I know what I saw. He said, but it's not there anymore. And he also told me before I left, he shook my hand, and he said, somebody in heaven loves you. He said, by all means, you should have been in a coma, not even been able to walk in here. He said, somebody in heaven loves you. He said, you do what I tell you to do, you come back. And when I came back, everything was still clear. They couldn't find any signs of what they saw in the hospital. So I know he works in the lives of believers through miracles, because I am one of his miracles. He works in just ways that he, like I say, just through prophecies and things through his people. He sends his prophets, he sends his evangelists. He does it in any way that he wants to. The Bible says that the king's heart is in his hand. He'll turn it, you know, whichever way he will. He works whatever with whoever and whom he wants to work through. So it's on a broad scale. God does whatever he wants to do. He is God. He can do whatever he wants to do to get the believers to be victorious. We see in David's life, he did a number of things in David's life. I mean, when his son was chasing him, Absalom was just riding a horse, and his hair got tangled in the trees, and it hung him in the tree. He works in any way he works the way he wants to work. So God works in a number of different ways. Like I say, signs, miracles, and wonders. He works through people. You can be sitting at a bus stop, and you know somebody just comes and gives you a word, but he works through faith.
He works all kinds of ways. All we have to do is have our ears to heaven and listen, have our eyes open and look and see, you know, what God is doing. And he will certainly, you know, direct your path in whatever way he wants it to go. All we have to do is be open to God. Thank you, Dr. McClure.
Thank you so much, Ms. Watson, for sharing with us the miracle working power of God. God still works miracles. God still does great and mighty things in the lives of his people. And we just can't just have a mindset that that was done. Some people think that miracles is gone. Some people think that miracles is not existing today. But God has done so many things. God is still raising the dead. God is still healing those that with leukemia. God is still healing those with growths in their bodies. God is still causing the lame to be able to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. And God still is doing great and mighty things. So we just thank God for Ms. Helen Watson, as she shared with us in how God worked in believers' lives to make them victorious. Thank you, God, because we serve a victorious God. At this time, we're going to have another update, and this update is Blog Talk Radio present Bible Storyland Hour. The host of Bible Storyland Hour is Ms. Caritha Gatlin, and it's every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. The radio show number to call is 1-619-789-4313. And also, we would like to continually to encourage you to go out into your Christian bookstore and purchase the CD, I Am Worship, from Pastor Sabrina Belton. Go and ask for the I Am Worship CD, and I promise you that you will not be disappointed. Oh, well, we're getting ready right now to go to our last topic, which be praise for dominion. Again, praise for dominion. We're getting ready to hear from evangelist Geraldine Spencer, and she's going to talk to us today from Psalm 18th chapter, 43rd to the 50th verse on praise for dominion. Let's welcome evangelist Spencer to Breakthrough. Evangelist Spencer.
Lord, Breakthrough broadcast audience, and Dr. McCoy, give God the glory. Amen. And we're going to start here in verse 43. I'm going to read to you 43 through 50 out of the NIV. And it says, "You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me." Verse 44, "As soon as they hear me, they obey me. Foreigners cringe before me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me by my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Praise the Lord." And praise for dominion. Here we see how God had blessed David's military campaign, and how, in other words, David rejoiced in those victories. For he had defeated all his enemies, and they became his servants. But David did not claim military victory through his own abilities. He gave all the credit to God. Even though David led his troops into battle, it was God who gave him the victory. And, you know, and I look at how in the beginning of Psalms 18, how David began to praise God for deliverance. And he was confident. He had gotten to a place where he had become confident in the Lord. And he, in other words, gave him, you know, giving him thanks and giving him praise before it even take place, because he knew that whatever God spoke, that God was going to do, that he was faithful, and that he was a God that cannot lie. Even though man may lie to us, but we know that when God speaks something to us, he is faithful to do it and to perform it. So David gave him praise for the deliverance. And in the second part, he gave him praise for direction, because he knew that by seeking God and going forth and doing what God had ordained for him to do, that in the end, there was going to be victory. There was going to be victory, and that God was going to get the glory out of this. And I give God praise because David made sure that he gave God all the glory. And, you know, and sometimes in our lives can be a witness to others. We live righteously. People will acknowledge God's presence in our lives. At times, though, we may be ridiculed or persecuted for our faith, or our natural tendency is to retaliate. You know, yes, our flesh, in other words, make us want to go and want to say something. But when the Holy Spirit tells you to be quiet and to stand on his word and know that he said in his word, vengeance is his, that he's got your back, then you be quiet and you go on, and you know that God is going to take care of this. And he shows here in this Psalm that how David, in other words, he went in that place. He didn't retaliate. He, in other words, was assured and he was confident that God had his back and that God was going to get all the glory for this, and that God, in other words, was going to make his enemies his footstool. And so, and he, you know, giving God praise, but we need to let God fight our battles for us. You know, and sometimes we get in that place that, you know, well, I just need to say something. No, if the Holy Spirit says to be quiet, you need to be quiet. But, you know, if we get in that place and we kind of like want to say, but, you know, that was not my intention. That was not, you know, God, in other words, God is saying, be quiet. I got this. We be quiet and we get this. And you look at how here in the scriptures that he did not try to avenge or come after the people. He only listened to what God, he had trusted God with giving him deliverance. He had trusted God with giving him direction. So you know what, God, I need to trust you all the way. And that's what David did. He trusted God all the way, knowing that God would take care and that God would take care of those that were rising up against him, those that were saying things or doing things and stuff, that it was not his place and this was not his battle, but it's the Lord's battle. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes when we try to avenge ourselves or we try to do something, sometimes we end up, and the majority of times we end up hindering what God is trying to do in the lives of those that opposes us and stuff. But, you know, sometimes that flesh, in other words, wants to rise up and say, you know, well, if you don't speak up for yourself, you know, won't nobody do it. And, you know, I got to have the last word. You know that that's nothing but the enemy, because, in other words, if God has ordained or told you to do something, they're giving you a task, and there are going to be things that come in that task, but you have to realize and continue to look unto him for the direction and to look unto him for what to say and what to do. And because you know that there is never a battle that God has not won. God has won every battle. And so we know that God is victorious, and we know that we can be victorious through him and with him. If we just, in other words, allow our flesh to die and to listen to him and to be confident in his word and what he's saying to us. And we look at it how, you know, even with Jesus has called for us as to be followers, to be peacemakers, you know. And in Matthew, it says that 5 and 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And, you know, in that peacemaking, you know, when we look at what all Christ went through and the suffering, you know, and there were a lot of things that he was accused of. There was a lot of things that was said against him and was done, all that, but he was a peacemaker. In other words, he held his peace. In other words, he knew that he had to go that way, and he knew he had to go through. And so, and here the psalmist David is saying the same thing. In other words, okay, God has got this. So in other words, I'm just going to continue to look unto him and to trust him and be confident, because God is faithful. He is faithful, and I know he's faithful. And David assured it in every one of the scriptures that he had written here in Psalms 18, that he knew that God was faithful. Amen. Instead of talking about someone who has harmed us, you know, maybe the Lord is telling us we need to go to that person and try to mend the relationship. God does not want strife in his church, and we may be the one he uses to bring harmony. But the thing about it, though, are we going to allow our flesh to die so that we can see and allow God to get the glory? Because in every situation and circumstances, no matter what it looks like, it may not feel good, but God is going to get the glory out of it. And if God has spoken to you that he's going to get the glory out of your life, know that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what is being said about me or being said to me, that God, in other words, has a plan. God, in other words, knew that I was going to go through this. He knew that this was going to take place. So, in other words, I need to be seeking him while this storm is going on. I need to be seeking him right now and talking to him and in that place and shaping us to let us know confidence. Have confidence in me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm here with you. I know what you're going through. I know what you can handle. I know what you can bear. I know, and I'm not going to put no more on you than what you can bear or what you can handle. And so David was assured in that. And he also is by showing love to those who hurt us. And when you think about it and you look at how in the book of John, and it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and how his love for the world, and when his love for the world, in other words, God was saying, in other words, that we're not perfect, and, you know, there are going to be those that hurt us, and but still, he gave his only begotten son because of his love. And when you look at how sometimes we need to stop and think about how have we hurt God, and he still loves us. He still had compassion on us. He still showed his mercy and grace and stuff. So, in other words, when someone is coming against us, don't take it personal. In other words, begin to, in other words, pray for that person, or to begin to, you know, begin to seek the Lord to find out, Lord, you know, what am I to do? Lord, show me how to show love, you know, to feel the hurt that they're going through, because, you know, usually people that hurt usually hurt other people and stuff. And so, you know, and it's also, and the Lord is letting us know that there's a part that we need to learn and to grab a hold of, to walk in God's love and to be that love. And the Holy Spirit can work in them and cause them to change their attitude and actions towards us. You know, we have to realize that God is able to make even our enemies live at peace with us. Because that's what the Word of God says. And if he said it in his Word, I believe him. In Proverbs 16:17, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
So it's about, in other words, we have to keep our mind and remember that when we're going through and when we're being attacked or things are coming at us and we know that it's not right, in other words, we have to go to that place and get in our mind, okay, God, let me do and let me represent you, what's pleasing unto you. Do not let my flesh rise up. Do not let my thoughts rise up, but God, let me do what's pleasing unto you. Let me answer what's pleasing unto you. Let me be what's pleasing unto you. And as a result of God's faithfulness, David declared the praises of God. He wanted everyone, including the nations he defeated, to know the God he served. And, you know, when you stop and you think about that, and, you know, and after you've been through and after things have taken place, and a lot of times, the majority of the times, by you standing and you doing what God is telling you to do, and if God is telling you to be quiet and God is taking care of your enemies and everything, people will know, you know what, this is a true person of God. Because not once did they try to take matters into their own hands. Not once did they raise their voice or did they try to come back at me. This is truly, in other words, a person of God. And they will see, and God, that's how God gets the glory out of our lives. And that's how God gets all the glory because, in other words, people will see that, you know what, I did all this and tried to do all that to that person, and not once did they try to come against me and stuff. And you look at how God, in other words, made nations he defeated to know the God he served. And you look at how, in other words, when people are coming against you, they will know that it is the Lord, that it's truly not only are you speaking it, because, you know, a lot of times we can say that we love the Lord and we are living for the Lord, but it's about in our walk and in our life and are we living it? Are we being examples of God's glory? And David was also saying here, reflecting on God's faithfulness and blessings should cause us to worship him. This can also be a catalyst for witnessing. We can give praise to God by telling others what he has done for us. And when you know it and you think about it, David was a worshiper because he was, in other words, taking care of the sheep. He was out there on the back side of the mountain when he, in other words, got called and got summoned to come to Samuel, the prophet Samuel, who was with his dad, Jesse, and stuff. So, you know, David, at a young age, you know, it was not about as far as being in the spotlight, but you know what? I'm just being in that place where I'm just going to worship God, and I'm just praising God and giving him thanks for, you know, who he is and what he's doing, and I'm giving him praise that, you know, right now I'm out here taking care of the sheep. I'm out here looking over the fold on the bike side, and I'm just having a good time with my Lord. And how God, in other words, saw and could trust him and knew that this is one that was after my own heart. In other words, he didn't want no limelight. He, in other words, was back there doing what he wanted to do to worship me, to praise me, and to, in other words, be in that place with God. I wasn't looking for fame or fortune. I was just back here, in other words, doing what I was assigned to me to do. And so when we look at how he gave God praise for deliverance, he gave God praise for direction, and then he gave God praise for dominion, and knowing that, you know, all the glory goes to him. All the glory goes to him. And even in the scriptures, if you notice in the scriptures in 43 through 50, David kept returning everything back to God. Returning everything back to him. He is the one. He is the one. And when you look at it, you say, in other words, he said, the Lord lives. Verse 46 in the NIV, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. In other words, he was letting it be known, you know what? I couldn't do this. What has taken place, God did this. So, in other words, you know, sometimes, you know, people, how they can see and witness and how we can witness to people that don't know the Lord is by just giving God the glory and letting know, you know, hey, God did this. I had nothing to do with this. God did this. God did this. Give the glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And God will, hallelujah, bring us through deliverance. He'll bring us through that, and he gives us direction. And amen, and give him praise. Just give him praise for dominion. And I'm one that when I praise, you know, I can praise with tears and tears of joy, and I can give him praise with tears of worship, and I can just give him praise, you know, and it's in those times, but, you know, and I'm giving him thanks unto him. And sometimes it's being in a place where the only thing you can do is just raise your hand and just let it know, you know, God, I'm giving you a wave offering. I'm giving you a wave offering by, you know, just waving my hand and let it be known that you are the one that has brought me through. You're the one that has done this thing. And hallelujah, give God the praise in everything. Give God the praise in when he's in waking you up and when he's just doing the little things. I give God praise. Yeah, because you didn't have to do it, oh God. That you would, who are you that you would be mindful of me, is what the scripture says. You know, so I give God praise and I thank him for what he's doing. Hallelujah, not only in my life, but in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And Dr. McCoy?
Thank you so very much, Evangelist Spencer. Certainly enjoy, praise God, that discussion on praise for dominion. And, oh, my God, how many things that we were able to put a bullet on and to just to praise God for and to thank God as she began to take us through the scripture from Psalm the 18th chapter, 43 through the 43rd chapter, verse through the 50th verse. And I like when she said that, you know, no matter what we go through, we got to know that God got this. No matter how the situation that we confront, we have to believe and know that God has it. And we don't have to fight battles in our lives because the battle does not belong to us, but the battle belongs to God. And one of the things that she let us know as well, that when David went through even the military, when he fought battles and he got the victory in those battles, he didn't take the victory for himself, but he always gave God the victory, and he always got the praise for what God did, because, hey, God did it. It wasn't him. David did not try to take the glory and the honor. And that just let us know that even when God bless us and the things that we go through, that it wasn't us, but it's the Christ that liveth in it. It's the Almighty God who fought for us and letting us know that and even when the Word of God let us know that the battle does not belong to us, but the battle belongs to God. And I just thank God. So many things that we can can bless the Lord through the teaching of praise for dominion. And we thank Evangelist Spencer for shedding light on that and for blessing us today in praise for dominion. And at this time, we're going to ask any radio audience that's listening today, if there's anyone that's on the line that would like to give a personal reflection on how can we use the time God intervened in our lives to tell others about him. The question is, how can we use the time God intervened in our lives to tell others about him? Caller? Is there anyone on the line that would like to tell us, to answer this question for us? How can we use the time God has given to intervene in our lives to tell others about him? Any of our panelists would like to take that question? Let's go to Miss Helen Watson. And should you give to tell us, let's ask each one of our panelists on there to give us just a a short view of your personal intake on that, on how God intervened. How can we use the time God has intervened, the times that God has intervened in our lives to tell others about Him? And I'm quite sure Ms. Watson and Ms. Helen Watson and Pastor Eric can tell us about this, as well as Evangelist Spencer, because of the things that they have gone through, that they have shared here on the breakthrough broadcast, the things that God have done for them in their lives. So at this time, we're going to...
checking, and I was like, okay, Lord, you said that there's a check in my mailbox and stuff, and so I got out of the car, and I went and opened up my mailbox, and sure enough, there was a check in the mailbox, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, and I opened it up, and it was from Las Vegas, Nevada's Publishers Clearinghouse, and I opened up the thing, and